What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this week, oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to this guest.
Dude!
Holy shit, we got the Poo Doctor!
Poo Doctor!
Yeah! In the house. Yeah. We are going to be joined by, can you say his name correctly?
Dr. Anish Sheth.
Anish Sheth. Wow, that's a tongue
twister.
Anish Sheth. He is the author of the critically acclaimed book and huge, widely popular bestseller, What's Your Poo Telling You?
Yes, and the other book, What's My Pee Telling Me?
Yes, you guys have heard of it. He's been on Rachel Ray.
Yes, the doctors. Yeah. All the daytime talk shows. I'm going to be honest. I have been so excited for him for a while because, like, I remember when this book came out, I purchased this book and I saw him on all these shows and I just thought he was incredible. And nobody was really, like, talking openly about poo like that. And that's a lot of that. I was still having so many of my own digestive issues.
Yeah.
And I loved him. Like, I connected with him so much.
He's the superhero we need.
Oh,
we
my
need
God.
To, like, take the shame away from poo. We need to talk about poo.
We did. And when I found out that he wanted to be a guest on Self-Helpless, I literally shit my pants. I mean, not literally. Maybe Kelsey did. But I remember texting you guys like, oh, my God. You guys.
Yeah.
It's the Poo Doctor.
I'm the Poo Doctor.
It's the Poo Doctor.
I've never felt more excited to use the poo emoji in a text thread ever. I was like, this is so appropriate. And I feel like poo gets brought up so often in our podcast
because
we're three classy broads.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's destiny. Like, this was meant to be. That we would have
to be
the poo expert on Self-Helpless. So our interview with him will be in just a little bit. We're gonna do a couple of our segments and then we will be talking with him, and I'm so excited.
Oh yes.
Okay, now
it's always, like, funny to get those emails from people who are like, Delaney, Kelsey, whoever, like, whoever's name it is, you're my spirit animal, and then all the stuff they resonate with, and you're kind of like, whew, ow, that's are those all the things you remember about me? That I grew up really scared of God? And I have poo issues? And, you know, like, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So great. So you have a quote?
Dude, found this great quotable. Here, are you guys ready for this?
We're ready.
Yep, okay. We're ready.
Having a low opinion of yourself is not modesty. It's self-destruction. That's by Bobby Summer.
I like that.
Boom.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, that's like... own the confidence.
Yeah.
You're the shit.
It's that fine line. You don't want to be an asshole. You don't want to be cocky.
Right.
But, like, you also don't want to be like, I'm worthless.
No.
Yeah. You want to find that in between.
I'm worthless.
Find the in between.
That was the broiest insecurity.
I'm just worthless, bro.
Fucking nobody,
don't
bro.
Don't see that Chad.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Chad.
That was very funny.
Yeah. What would the in between be between worthless and... cocky.
I think quiet, I'm quiet good. Confidence.
Quiet confidence. Yeah.
Just like that you know that you got your shit down.
Yeah. I'm fine with me.
I'm fine with me.
We've already discovered what the happy medium
in a nutshell.
I'm fine with me.
I feel like I ricochet between like, I'm the best thing that's ever happened to anyone who knows me. And then like, why does anyone keep me around? Like, I feel like I go between extremes a lot.
That's just, I think, being human.
Is it? Do you feel like that? I don't feel like you do.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
think
I don't.
Do.
I don't get.
I don't think you do either. Do you?
No.
You guys are very
with your perfectionism.
Confident.
Maybe you get really down on yourself with your perfectionism.
Yeah, but
right?
I'm always down on myself. I don't have that swing into being.
You
like,
don't have the happy swing, is what you're saying.
No, or unless I'm drunk in Vegas with a pound of makeup on, and then I'm like, I'm Beyonce. Like I feel great. But that, I mean, in my day to day life, I generally swing way more toward like I'm worthless.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like you get more frustrated with yourself about your perfectionism, because when I've talked to you in those moments, I feel like you're still like, it's so frustrating because I know I am this, 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 and this. But I feel as though I am this, 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 and this. So I feel like even in those moments, you have a good head on your shoulders and you know, like, I know I am very talented and hardworking and beautiful, but right now I am frustrated as to why this opportunity is not going the way I want. Yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do feel like in my core, I do feel like, you know, like I got my own back. Like I know, yes. I know who I am. I know like what my talent level is. Like I feel pretty certain about those things. But I think on a day to day, I can let a lot of like external things make me feel bad. I have to fight against them a lot. Yeah.
And you said you're kind of up and down constantly.
I think I'm up and down, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm over exaggerating. I feel like I'm pretty up and down, and I will have moments of like, you know, just I don't know, even like this thing, that this project that we're all working on, where we all have to be kind of confident about things. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to, I'm like worried about coming off as confident as the two of you.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Just because
that
I feel like
so blows our mind, because you're a fucking rock star.
That's very nice.
Right. But it's always hard
I feel like it's gonna be harder for people that we are trying to sell this project to which this is just how I feel. This is not necessarily true, but I feel like it's gonna be harder for them to be like, oh yeah, she seems like she knows what she's doing, as opposed to you two, where I feel like you two are more like, yeah, no, this is it. And everyone's like, well, yeah, no.
But that's
trust
just
them.
An attitude. Yes. That's just, right. And you have, I know you have that attitude. Yes. I know you can be like, I'm the shit.
Dig it out.
Yeah.
Like, dig it out.
Find her. Find that shit.
Yeah.
But that, I think, but we all suffer from imposter syndrome, right, which we're going to do an episode about that topic alone eventually. But I think that's just what that is. Yeah.
And, I'm in a good place with stand-up right now, though.
Oh, good.
Like, that's great.
I had some great shows in San Jose last weekend. Thank you so much. To the people who came, shout out to Jessica for bringing me a mummy roller.
So cool.
Nice. You put it, apparently you're supposed to put it behind your ears and on the bottoms of your feet, and it makes you sleep like a mummy. It's essential oils. She made it for me.
That's, oh my gosh.
Nice. I love it.
God, so nice.
Beautiful souls out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so I've been going up a lot, and I've been doing a lot of time, and I'm like, feel like I have a lot of newer stuff, and I'm like feeling really good.
Oh, that's great.
Really,
that's good. The best. Yeah, I feel like I have a pretty even keel. I don't know if I swing so much high and low. My energy swings that way, but I feel like a pretty steady, I guess, confidence.
Yeah.
But it's just like medium confidence. I don't feel overly confident. I don't feel underconfident. I just feel like
you're
very
secure.
Okay. I feel secure. That's a better word for it. I feel secure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, just a good little check.
I feel like maybe, and it might have something to do. Did you feel like you swung a little bit more when you were performing all the time? Because I feel like that's
100%.
I feel like that's what it is for us.
1,000%.
Just gonna say, if I go like a week or two without performing, that really levels out.
Yes.
And it's just like day to day being a normal person. And then I remember Bill Burr talking about this, that in his younger years of stand up, how he felt about himself as a comedian was completely based on the crowd's reaction to him.
Right.
Where if he had a good set, he's like, I'm a great comedian. If he had a bad set, he's like, I should never do this again.
Yes.
And
oh, wow.
I mean, it gets better every year, but I wish it didn't affect me so much as it still does, where it's like, you know, like I can have a great set and feel like, I'm a pro. I got this. And then if I have a bad set, I'm like, wow, I really don't know what I'm doing. I should just.
Really?
Yeah. It really hits me hard.
Wow. See, I didn't swing in that way, in that regard. Like, I felt like I could be pretty objective about my sets and stuff like that. But what was happening is, the if I wasn't performing, I was just happy because performing wasn't making me happy. Oh. And when I was, even if the shows were going great, I wasn't
super stoked about it, about like that lifestyle. But I was objectively able to be like, ah, that was, you know, it was kind of an off night. This was not my type of crowd, or like, hey, that was a pretty good set or whatever. But I didn't let it swing me too much about like my own kind of voice or performance level, I guess.
Yeah.
But definitely my emotions were swinging just because of the act of
doing something
what
I want to do.
Doing something that I felt like should do or obligated to do, or like that outer expectation, that whole thing, which we eventually need to really dive into the four tendencies, because that book really helped me get out of the, you know, the doing the shoulds versus the wants, you know.
And that's different than the four agreements, which we talked about with Joe Florentine.
The four tendencies, we'll keep a little brief stuff, but we'll definitely, I think I want to read what you guys read the book, because it helped me so much.
Oh,
not
I want
even,
to.
Not even just like a trendy topic. It is great. There's four different tendencies, as far as the book says: the obliger, the upholder, the rebel, and the questioner. And so like the obliger can meet outer expectations, but they have a hard time keeping promises to themselves.
Okay.
The upholder can meet outer expectations and inner expectations for themselves. The questioner just kind of questions everything. They want to get all the facts and information before they make decisions. If they think something is stupid, they don't want to do it until somebody tells them why they should, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Cam is one of those. Shocker.
Ornery.
Yeah. And then,
it is
ornery. Very. And then the rebel is somebody who has a hard time meeting outer expectations and inner expectations. Mm. They almost have to trick themselves into taking care of themselves. That's kind of the gist.
Wow.
So I found out I'm an obliger, where I can hold up the outer expectations, but I have a hard time keeping promises to myself.
Got it.
So that's why I choose work over exercise and eating healthy and all that stuff, because I'm like, I'm worried about letting this person down, but I can let myself down. I don't care.
Yeah, got it.
So
we got to do that soon.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. But yeah,
let's do some treat yourselves and self-care.
Yeah.
I have the biggest treat myself,
which
I've been dying to say on the main podcast: a movie.
Woo! She did it, you guys.
Yes. I did it. Kane and I found an amazing, super nice apartment, and honestly, I have to really thank you, listeners, because it wouldn't be possible without this podcast and without the Patreon and you guys supporting us, and it truly has impacted us, and it's amazing.
And you guys don't have to be on the road as much
right
now. We're being able to dedicate
this is one of the first times where I'm seeing this like real tangible change in my life because of the podcast, in terms of like finances, where this was like two episodes ago, it was on our loneliness episode. You guys can go back and listen, where I'm like, oh, we want to move, but I don't know. I'm worried about money. And you guys were so sweet, and you were like, come on, you should just do it. It'll make you feel better. You're living in a situation where you don't even feel safe at that apartment.
No.
And I just was living in so much fear. And when I went back home to Cheney and I was helping my mom pack, something just hit me. And I was like, I can't live in this gray space anymore of like, not knowing whether or not we should do this. Like, let's just fucking do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's do it. I have faith, and let's just make this happen. And we are moving into our dream apartment. It's amazing.
Ah!
Like, it's as close to getting a house as we could get, but still an apartment. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
spacious
beautiful,
and beautiful. And it has a washer and drying unit and a dishwasher. And
that
I've been hand washing dishes for 4 years. And my fingers are so sick of being soggy all the time. I'm pruned. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
So I'm sick of hoarding quarters for the fucking washer and dryer. Like, I'm just, thank you, listeners. Thank you guys so much for changing our lives.
Yeah, seriously. So. And like, the fact that you guys don't have to be on the road as much is really giving us more time to dedicate to all of our long-term goals with the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we have some exciting stuff coming up that we're really looking forward to sharing with you. And that's all because of your support, of the fact that we can actually get together more often. We're seeing each other so much this week, working on stuff. Because there's not that pressure where you guys have to be out every single weekend on a plane twice a week.
Yes. Like, I still am.
You're going to get there, though.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So excited. That's my self-careless. My self-careless is, do I need to be on the road as much?
No.
Am I still? Yes, absolutely. It's fine.
But you kind of love it.
No.
No?
It's tough. Here's my issue is, Kelsey you were home for what, 2 months this summer? Where you didn't have to get on a plane?
Oh, that was a month that I was home.
That was a month you were home. Okay. So I don't know that I have done that since I started doing comedy. Yeah. And I'm afraid that if I do it, I won't be able to go back out there.
Oh, so not true.
Really?
Yeah. So not true. Shit just keeps coming.
Yeah.
No. It's not that I'm afraid I won't have opportunities. It's I'm afraid that my own mental health won't allow me.
Oh, like I'm the afraid way that I'll you dread felt? It.
Yeah, like the way you felt when you went back to Wisconsin or wherever you had to go at the end of that month.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that I'll feel that way because whenever I'm home, I'm like, oh, it's so nice. But I'm just scared. I'm scared I won't be able to make myself do it anymore.
Would you be as satisfied if you were like, well, you're past at every club here, so
yeah, do the local stuff.
Yeah, would you feel as satisfied just going up a bunch at night in town, or do you feel a need? Okay,
it's the money thing. I feel the need to always be making money because if I'm not making money, I'm like, well, it's all gonna dry up.
Take money out of it.
Yeah.
Well, then yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Then that's what
so then you have your answer.
Yeah. That's what you do.
But also, if I'm not headlining, if I'm just staying in town, I'm not doing, you know, hours of material. Like, I'm not on stage for as much time as you are on the road.
But I assume that you would still, it's not like you would stop going out forever. You would just change it into like once a month, maybe, or twice a month. But that, I think, tells you everything. You're acting out of fear. You're like keeping yourself going so that you don't like
stop forever.
That's
which won't happen. Stand-up is in you, girl. It ain't going anywhere. And what's the point of making good money if you're not around to enjoy it?
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. It'll That's how I feel there. About looking at, like, because I'm looking at apartments right now. And for me...
It's all happening.
It's all happening. And it's like, there's just so much in me that's like, well, don't spend too much. You should spend only that. And then I'm like, you could go higher than that. You're just too afraid that... What I don't know, your career's gonna blow up. Like I don't know what I'm afraid of, but I'm afraid all the time.
It felt so good to like not be afraid and just say yes to get in the apartment. I have to tell you, I had been so depressed. I've been like legit depressed for like over a month, and I hadn't really talked about it with you guys. I'd just been kind of like pushing it away, but being unhappy where we lived, and that affecting me every day, but not having the confidence to move. Ooh. That was a bad place to be in.
Yeah.
And that fear that you're in right now of like afraid to make a move. I tell you, like once you just pull the trigger and like do something, it feels so good.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It did feel good this week too. Cause I got back from San Jose and was home for like a night. And then I was back, you know, like I'm barely at my place I'm usually at the road on the road or at Kyle's. And it's like, it's not comfortable, and I don't feel like I have any home base. And at like 2 a.m. the other morning, I couldn't sleep, and I was just like, I'm setting up all these apartment appointments. Like, we're going to go look at six in the next 2 days.
Good.
I can go by myself if you want me to. He's like, no, I'll come with you. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going. So I have to do it because I can't do this anymore. Good. And I had told my sisters, like, oh, I can move whenever, like maybe December, January, and I've been telling everywhere. I'm like, December 1st or November 1st. Like, anywhere around there, and I'll work it out with them. Like, we'll figure it out, because I can't stay where I'm staying. It feel, even when I am home, I feel like I'm being just smothered by that tiny apartment far away from everything.
And the commute is so crazy for you almost it's every insane. Single day. I think you should try the local stuff for now.
I think so.
Why don't you just try it out? See how it feels.
I'm booked out through the end of the year. That's the thing. Like, I'm booked. The way my schedule is right now, I am booked through March of next
That's
year.
That's insane, Taylor.
I know.
Taylor, listen. Look at your schedule. Look at your schedule. You know the shows that you can cancel, and you know the shows that you need to keep. Why don't you take an objective look at that? Okay. And then stop booking so many fucking shows.
Mama Delaney, man.
It's hard because sometimes you can't say no.
But listen, but why are you not saying no, though?
Because it's okay. There's something I can't say on the podcast. Do you remember the thing I told you that I was doing part of? Now they're asking me to do the whole thing.
Okay.
Which is being gone way more. It's exciting, but we'll get, I'll tell you guys the details off the podcast.
Just that and not do some of the other stuff then?
Well, it's already, I mean, I'm booked on some of those days that I'm going to do this other thing probably. So that's already being canceled, and it's like cutting into, I was supposed to take a vacation with my family, and it's like cutting into that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I told them, I was like, I did this. This was a good treat yourself. Okay. I said, okay. I was like, is there any way I can go to Cancun with my family for those 3 days instead of going on this work thing? And they're getting back to me on it. But I didn't just go, yep, nope, I'll do that. Screw that's you, family. Good. Yeah. That's good.
That right? is good. Good. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think, but yeah, like Kelsey said, once a month, just to try it out when you can.
Yeah.
Which is hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Once a month out of town, and the rest, there's so many great local things that you could be doing that you're still getting up, and you're just not fucking killing yourself by traveling constantly.
And once you have your amazing place with Kyle, bitch, you gonna wanna be home.
Oh my gosh, I know.
You're not gonna, like, because right now, it's almost like the road probably feels better in certain ways than coming back because you, like, don't have a home base.
Yeah.
Once you get a home that you love, I mean, like, shit, if I already didn't love being in town after this apartment, I'm going to be like, I am not going anywhere.
That apartment is so great.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh. It's so nice.
I'm still 12 days away from moving, and I've already, like, completely packed everything.
Oh, 100%.
Like, get me out of here. I'm, like, dying to get out.
Dude, I was packing shit up at our old place before we even got an apartment. I was ready to get the hell out of there.
Oh, did I tell you how many clothes? I got rid of, like, half my closet.
Whoa.
I was like,
fantastic. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Dude, I feel like I should really quickly just talk about the Candida stuff.
Yeah.
Just a little bit because I haven't filled people in on this. We've talked about it on the Patreon a little bit. But Kelsey convinced me to do the Candida diet, like, for reals. And I did it. And it's been awful but amazing. So I went on Accutane, like you guys know, for like 6 months or so, and then a few months after being off of it, all those little bumps started coming back, just like nothing had ever fucking happened. And I
right.
was feeling terrible, and I didn't want to go back on Accutane. It's a pain in the ass. If anybody's ever done it, you have to get your blood drawn once a month and take a pregnancy test and all this bullshit, and didn't want to go back to that. And deep down, I know the root of the problem is my diet and my bagels and all the things I love.
I've been telling you for so long.
Yeah, I know. Kelsey's been telling me, and I knew that Accutane was probably just going to be a Band-Aid, and then it pretty much was. So,
a fucking dramatic Band-Aid at that.
Yeah.
It's a big thing to do, Accutane.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it worked.
Nothing's bigger for you than not eating bagels.
Exactly. I was willing to go on this drug, hardcore drug.
Yeah. It's the Band-Aid equivalent of wrapping yourself up like a mummy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's the second time I've done it in my lifetime. I did it over a decade ago. So I decided I would do the Candida diet. And if you guys have done it, I'm so sorry. My heart goes out to you. And if you haven't, Jesus Christ, it's fucking miserable, but I can tell you by day 4, 70% of those bumps on my face were completely gone. That's and by day 8, they were all gone. I mean, look at my skin. It looks fine.
It's crazy.
It looks fine. And I wish I had done this instead of going on 6 months of Accutane. Yes, I had a great time because I ate everything I wanted. All I've really been doing is I cut bread. Just a moment of silence for that. I've cut bread and dairy pretty much out, most grains. And then if you're doing like really strict stuff, there's like certain vegetables you should be eating and not eating, and certain meats and stuff like that. There's a lot of research. Go do the research. If you have these weird little bumps on your face, you have to try this diet at least for a couple weeks to see the results.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the point where I've seen the results. Shit is gone. There's no more bumps on my face. It completely cured it. I mean, I'm still in shock.
Yeah.
And also upset. I was happy and sad at the same time.
It is. It's very bittersweet.
It's so bittersweet because I realized, okay, it's in my control. That at least, you know, this, I know there's a lot of skin stuff that is not in your control. There's hormonal stuff and there's all kinds of things, but this really is. And I know that I'm going to have to, it's a lifestyle change I have to make.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
Grains are you doing now?
I haven't been doing grains.
Oh, you
so haven't. So I'm at the point where I'm going to slowly incorporate things back. I've treated a couple times with cake and nothing happened.
When you had cheesecake, nothing happened to you.
Nothing happened to me with cheesecake. I was super stoked about that.
I'm
furious. Okay, if you do this diet for 8 days and you don't see results in 4 like Delaney, just know that Delaney is
a freak of nature,
freaking blessed.
Yeah,
all right, but don't expect that.
They say that it doesn't completely go away for 90 days like that, so I'm just telling
you
but I know it's back. Hard but if you start to bring things in because your ass is being impatient,
yes I am,
then it's
so.
Gonna it might come back and you might have to do it again.
So I tried that piece of cake.
Okay,
I was fine.
Okay,
I'm like, okay, Maybe that was a fluke.
Okay.
So a few days later, tried another piece of cake.
Okay.
It was fine.
So you did the Candida diet for 8 days.
Yeah. I'm sitting here fucking like 4 years into this shit. I haven't had bread or cheese for 4 fucking years.
Oh, bless your heart. I did it for like 10 days and I had cheesecake and I'm like, I want to murder you. I can't believe that.
Well, yes. So, but I'm thinking that it's really the bread that is my problem. The bread and grains. Because I haven't really incorporated grains back in. So I have a feeling that's the cause of it. I have not. I had a little bit of fried rice and I was fine.
You think it's a gluten thing?
Fried rice is not an issue. No,
it's not an issue? Okay.
It doesn't have
I have not had bagels yet. I have not had a cheeseburger yet. I'm gonna have some experimental cheeseburgers coming up and I'll report back to what happens.
Okay.
But so far I have been cheating a little bit and it hasn't affected. I think it's the
fact.
Can
you feel my rage?
Yeah.
Can you feel?
But but you have like tortillas and rice because that
because
has
they don't
no
have yeast.
Yeast.
Okay.
No
okay. yeast. But like, bread everything. And cheese is a nightmare.
I went super strict for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, like couple weeks. I've been really pretty strict. But I am ready to incorporate some stuff and see what happens. You guys, this diet was so hard. I cried in my shower. it was like day 2.5 and I was crying because I fucking love food. I have an addiction to food. I think I can admit that. But I mean, I plan my day around food. I plan all my meals out. If I know I'm going to a restaurant, I'll look up the menu ahead of time, look to see what's on it. I plan it out. Oh, I tell Cam, like, I want you to get this and I'm going to get this and we're going to try each other's.
Is that addiction is a huge or is thing. It just enjoying food?
Sure.
A foodie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a foodie. I don't think I'm addicted to food, but you have a different background with it.
I do have a different background. I definitely, you know, binge eating and things like that. So I honestly think that I had those results so quickly because it was such a drastic change.
Right.
I mean, you guys, I was eating like breakfast burrito, hamburger for lunch.
Right.
Pizza, whatever the fuck I wanted.
Crushing bags.
Yeah, crushing the bagels on the regs. So I think if you're already eating moderately healthy and you do it, you might not see those drastic results. But I saw, I mean, it went from A to Z.
Right, right.
Or whatever the fuck you're
supposed
to call it. Zero to 100.
It's fine. People get it.
A for apple, B for... anyway, I hope that if you're having those weird bumps, you got to try it. It's the fucking worst. And you can hit me up on Instagram and all the... You can reach out to me if you're having a bad time with it. I feel your pain. But I wish somebody would have told me, like, look, you know, back then and 6 months ago, like, look, if you just do this diet, you're going to see some improvements without having to do all this other bullshit.
I did tell you that, but I
know.
You didn't listen to me.
Yeah. I wasn't listening to Kelsey because I wasn't ready to admit it to myself. Yeah.
So if you're in that place, just know you're not alone.
I wish somebody would have told me. Bitch, I told you so many times.
So
get the fuck out of here.
Kelsey was like, have you tried the Candida diet? She wasn't like, bitch, you need to do this.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's a touchy thing.
It is like, a touchy thing. But eventually you're like,
trying to get you
to do
like, claw my eyes out. I know how you feel about bagels. Don't take them away from you lightly. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, she had been gently pushing me and I finally was so fed up. I did it.
Well, so probably beautiful.
God, thank you.
All right. Shall we get the poo doctor on the line?
Let's get the poo doctor up. Ready to roll, baby.
All right. We'll be right back with the poo doctor.
Woo! We are so excited for our guest today. We have Dr. Anish Sheth with us. He's a gastroenterologist and author of What's Your Poo Telling You and What's My Pee Telling Me. He's been on The Doctors, Rachel Ray, all that good stuff. I got to be honest, Dr. Sheth, I am a little poo struck because I not only owned your book from years ago, like I've known who you are for a very long time. So I was so excited to have you on our show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's should be fun.
Yes, we are so excited. We have definitely talked about poo and stomach issues and all that stuff in the past.
Yeah.
So we have so many questions for you. But maybe to kick it off, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got into this specific aspect of the medical field?
Yeah, the glorious world of poo. It's very it's very prestigious. That's the first thing.
Child's dream.
Exactly. Well, it does actually go back to childhood. I actually blame my my father because, believe it or not, this was a topic of discussion at the dinner table when I was growing up. So I always thought it was normal to discuss bowel habits and you know whether it was a good one or not a good one. And, I learned from an early age that it sort of, you know, your bowel habits went a long way to saying what kind of day you had and how much energy you had and whether you felt good and what your diet was like. And so who'd have thought, you know, all these years later, we would have written a book about it. But I think that's the credit / blame, I think, goes to my family.
Wow. Amazing. I love it. Kelsey, do you want to kick off? I know that you have so many questions.
I have some, like, I feel like everything you just said to me makes me feel like I've known you for years, just because, like, you're like a kindred spirit to have, like, all these, this poo fascination, because I've just had poo problems my whole life. This is so funny to talk about. I love talking about this. So I have IBS, and Delaney and I have talked recently about both having a candida overgrowth, and I did the candida cleanse about 4 years ago, and it did help my IBS quite a bit, but I still have it. And I wondered, like, what are your top recommendations for dealing with IBS?
Yeah, it's a great topic, and I think it's a great thing to speak about, because it's such a common issue, especially for young women. And, you know, the studies show that on average, people who suffer from IBS will actually wait 2 to 3 years before they actually see their doctor to discuss their symptoms. And so I think it's really good to get the word out. And, you know, people try a lot of things on their own, and there's obviously a lot of resources online, but I think there's also a stigma and sort of an embarrassment factor with the subject matter. And so people just, they don't talk about it with their physicians. So I think it's good to talk about. So, I mean, IBS is super common. It's a combination of abdominal discomfort and bowel habit changes, whether it be constipation or diarrhea.
Yeah.
It really starts with two things in my eyes. One is diet, which we can get into. And the second is actually probiotics. So we learn more and more about IBS, and everybody's different. But one of the common features is that there's definitely an imbalance in the types of bacteria, the healthy versus unhealthy bacteria that we harbor in our intestines.
Yeah.
And I think it's really an easy thing. There's very good studies now suggesting that certain probiotics that are out there are helpful specifically in IBS. And the good thing is that it's over the counter. There's very little downside. There's no side effects. And that's a good place to start if you have IBS. And then the second thing is diet. And diet gets a lot of press. And there's the gluten-free diet. And there's the, you know, all kinds of diet. There's the low FODMAP diet. But I think if you look at an individual and you sort of speak with them and learn about their symptoms, I think there's some benefit for most people with certain dietary modifications that, again, don't have any side effects. So if you can do this without prescription drugs and you can get better, in my eyes, that's a win.
Yeah.
Okay. That's amazing. I need you to settle a debate amongst us.
Yes.
About probiotics. Because we've been told many different things about probiotics, that it's best to get it from your food, that it's best to take it in pill form, in capsule form, in powder form. And my biggest question is, does it need to be refrigerated or not?
It depends on the formulation. So it depends how it's processed, how it's prepared. And there are very good studies suggesting that certain proprietary name brand probiotics have a shelf life of, you know, several months, and they don't need to be refrigerated. And they've actually shown that in studies where they say, all right, there's a billion colonies of X probiotic, and a month later at room temperature, there's still a billion colonies of probiotics. There's other ones that are formulated different, that are in different forms, where you have to refrigerate them. And so it all depends on the way it's made and how it's processed. One of the big problems with probiotics is that there's literally hundreds of probiotic products out there.
Because
they're not regulated by the FDA, they don't need to prove, you know, as long as when they make it, there's 10 billion colonies, they don't need to do, most of them don't have to do the studies to suggest that there's still 10 billion by the time it ends up in your, you know, in your body. And so I think that's one of the problems, that you want to stick with a probiotic where they have done those studies, where they're tried and true, where there's clinical studies showing that it work, that it worked.
Are there any brands that you...
Yeah, what do you take?
Yeah, it's a specific thing you recommend.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the real point here is that, you know, probably 10 years ago, where we just would say, okay, just take this probiotic, take that probiotic, it was sort of kind of a blind statement. But now when I recommend a probiotic for a patient, I ask them why they're taking it. And I ask them, for instance, if they have IBS, then there's certain probiotics like Align is one in particular that has been studied in IBS, Culturelle. There are certain ones that have been studied. If you're taking it for general health purposes, it's probably less important which one you actually take, as long as, again, you're taking something that has the colonies that you need. And they're actually active live bacteria. It probably doesn't matter if you're just doing it for general health, but it's like an antibiotic. You can't just go there and take an antibiotic. It kind of depends on, you know, what the problem is. And I think we're learning, as we learn more and more about probiotics, we're getting to that level of deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your approach with like somebody with IBS. I myself was diagnosed when I was a teenager with irritable bowel syndrome, but I ended up growing out of all the symptoms. So I really think it was the overgrowth of candida that was giving me all my symptoms. However, when I went to go see a doctor, all they did was prescribe me was antibiotics, which made everything so much worse. Can you talk about why is it that a lot of medical professionals don't really treat candida overgrowth as a real problem?
Yeah. So I think one of the frustrating things for patients with IBS in particular is that, you know, there's certain things that have established medical science behind them that people are taught in medical school and training, and that's what they end up practicing. And candida overgrowth, among some other things, is often not emphasized. The studies, scientific studies, are not great, let's be honest, regarding that. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think one of the things about IBS is that a lot of times doctors will just have one cookie cutter approach to IBS. And everybody that they see with IBS gets the same treatment, regardless of if they have, you know, bloating, or they don't have bloating, or they have diarrhea, or they don't have diarrhea. And what we know is that you can't have that approach. And so I think there is a role for what you just talked about. There's a role for some other things in certain patients. But, you know, part of it is, you know, if we don't have good studies that we have basically been trained and learned about, then there's this sort of dismissive attitude towards trying new things. And I think sometimes we miss the boat, you know, for some patients.
And do you pronounce it, you said it, candida? Is that the right way? I've been saying it candida for like 5 years. Like a idiot.
I think candida is the correct pronunciation. But
well, there you go.
It sounds less gross when you say candida.
Candida, right? Yeah.
Well, I've heard so many nutritionists say candida, too. Oh. So I feel like it's, you know, we're not alone here.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, we're all like clamoring to ask you all these questions. So with IBS, a lot of people recommend like that you're supposed to have all this high fiber, because mine tends to be more constipated. So people are like, oh, have a lot of fiber. But then sometimes that leads to that feeling of almost like stop start, where I feel like all of a sudden I have to go and then like hardly anything comes out, or too much fiber can lead to diarrhea. It just seems like I never know how much fiber and what type of fiber I'm actually supposed to be having.
Yeah, so actually it's interesting. I never recommend fiber for IBS. It's not something that's, if you just have regular sort of run-of-the-mill occasional constipation, but without the IBS part, like without the abdominal pain and bloating and discomfort, then fiber has a role. But even for whether you have constipation or diarrhea, frankly, the problem with fiber, even though I'm a big proponent of fiber for most people, in IBS, it can actually worsen your symptoms, because fiber gets fermented by our intestinal tract and our bacteria. And when you ferment something, you produce more gas. And so if you already have problems with bloating and discomfort, it can actually make it worse.
Wow.
So I think fiber, probably not first line, regardless of what your bowel habits are like.
Oh, wow.
So what do you, I mean, like on a day-to-day basis, what are the type of foods that you would recommend for somebody with IBS?
That is just a loaded question.
So
constipation or diarrhea?
Mostly constipation.
Yeah, so I think if you're going to stick with fiber, you want to stick with soluble fiber. So you don't want to have a lot of roughage, a lot of salads, a lot of green uncooked vegetables, things like that. You want to, you know, you can go online, you can look up soluble sources of fiber, which, you know, oatmeal tends to be one that's better tolerated than most. There's certain fruits that are a little bit better. If you have fruit, you want to try to take the skin off the fruit. So these really hard to digest insoluble fiber food items can really kind of make it worse. And then obviously water intake is good. as a good start. And then I would go straight, to be honest, I would go straight to probiotics before I sort of start doing supplemental fiber and things of that sort.
Okay. So exciting for a doctor to tell me not to eat salad. I've been waiting for this day my whole life. I can stop eating that shit.
No, especially if you have IBS. I mean, if you think, we haven't talked about specifically the diet, but the low FODMAP diet, which is actually has a lot of good scientific literature behind it. It's low FODMAP. And one of the things that, I mean, you can, it's a long list of food items that are high in FODMAPs, but things that you would put in a salad, for instance, many of those things are actually going to make gas, bloating, and things like that worse.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, so yeah, much.
Crazy.
We've mentioned a little bit about candida and leaky gut syndrome on the show before. Can you kind of explain to our listeners what candida is, what leaky gut syndrome is? I'm sure they'd like to hear it from a professional versus how we explain
it. Or candida.
Yeah.
We're still saying it wrong.
Candida, absolutely. Yeah, so I think the concept behind leaky gut is that when you have inflammation in your intestines, and there can be many causes of that, one can be bacterial overgrowth, could be fungal overgrowth, could be just generalized inflammation in the body. When you have that, there's these things called tight junctions, which normally keep the things in our intestines, in the intestines, and do not allow them to sort of permeate the intestinal wall and enter the body. And when you have a leaky gut, for whatever reason, these tight junctions no longer keep bacteria and other things out of the body. And so what that does is you have now a crossing over of things that are supposed to be in our intestinal tract and then end up in our stool. You have a kind of a crossover from there into the bloodstream and into the body. And when it does that, you get inflammation. And so you get symptoms, you get discomfort. People will describe a lot of what we call systemic symptoms. So not just gut symptoms like abdominal pain and bowel changes, but people will feel fatigue, they'll get joint pain, decreased energy. And so that's the theory behind leaky gut, is that it's a sort of total body inflammation that arises from a kind of a weakness, if you will, in the intestinal lining.
Wow. I'm learning so much.
How do you tell the difference between IBS and, say, like lactose intolerance?
If somebody
comes in, do you have to sort of have people cut certain things out before you diagnose them as having IBS?
Yeah, it's a good point. I will tell you that it's rare that I make the diagnosis of lactose intolerance. I mean, people usually figure that out on their own because it's a very temporal kind of relationship between having a large dairy intake and symptoms, and then they should be fine in between. So that's the real distinction between IBS and any specific food intolerance. The IBS permeates, right? Yeah. You could have the same meal one day and then have the same exact thing the next day and feel completely different depending on a lot of issues. Whereas if you're having an intolerance to lactose or fructose or something of that sort, you'll only have symptoms within, like, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of eating those foods. And then if you don't eat those things, you're perfectly normal. And so I think usually you can tease it out by what the patient tells you and what their diet and what their habits are like.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Wow. We talked about the Bristol stool chart. This was maybe 6 months ago on the podcast, and we had a lot of people writing in, and I know it really opened my eyes. I hadn't seen it before. I can't remember if it said it on there, but what does it mean when your poop floats? Because I've heard that that's really bad. Like, if it's like small and floats.
Yeah. So most of the time that means you have increased gas in your stool, right? So air lends, like, stool becomes more buoyant when you have gas. So, like, it, usually it's related to, again, it's not a bad thing necessarily. If you had a high fiber meal or the day before you had, you know, a couple, you know, bowls of chili or burrito or salad, that's what's going to happen. And it's not a bad thing. If it keeps happening, sometimes it's a sign that you're not digesting or absorbing fats in your diet. So people have pancreas problems and enzyme problems. Sometimes when you have fat in your stool, it can also float. But there's a lot of other things that go with that. So most people, you know, you'll have a float, you know, we call it floaters versus sinkers. You'll have a floater, you know.
I'm like 5 years old. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for a day or two. So actually, if it is persistent, that's a good point. I mean, I think that's one of the take home points, is that in general, like, we joke a lot about it, because let's face it, most of the time, if something happens for a day or two, it's usually because of something you ate. You know, like, right. if you had red stool for one day and you had beets. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's usually when things like persist for days, weeks, months, where then we definitely have to take a step back and say, like, you know, maybe there is something wrong with the way my body's processing or digesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the healthiest poo, or does that depend on the person?
No. Well, I think there's some features that are, you can generalize. I mean, we talk about poo-phoria in our books, which is basically this, like, just tremendous, usually single piece of soft stool that comes out, like, without any effort, and you just feel great. Like, there's no stool residue when you wipe to clean up. I mean, there's just certain features that are not only make you feel great, but are really signs of a healthy GI tract. You know, it means you are getting enough fiber, you are drinking enough water, probably you're exercising, and that, you know, this is really reflected by one of these sort of tremendous bowel movements. But I think they're not the norm, obviously, for most people, even who are healthy. There's a lot of variability from day to day, and, you know, stress plays a role, and how well you sleep and travel and all these things are so variable from day to day that it is a joyous occasion when you do have one of those scoops.
Absolutely. Oh, the travel poops. I'm sure you guys.
Oh my God.
What is up with that when you travel somewhere and then you either don't shit for days, or once you walk into your home, it's time.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Yeah. Travel, you know, traveler's constipation is a big deal. Everybody experiences. There's so many factors. The high points are, you know, change in time zone. So your normal, you know, morning cues to go to the bathroom, or meals times cues to go to the bathroom, are totally off from the change in time zone. If you're flying somewhere, you're going to be dehydrated because you're not drinking enough water, or you're drinking more caffeine than you should. If you're at some, you know, celebratory type thing like a wedding, you're drinking more alcohol. You're probably not eating enough fiber. If you're like in a third world country, for instance, you're told not to eat fresh fruits and vegetables that are washed with the local water because you can get, you know, so you're just, everything is totally off.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, actually, that's the best time, even for folks that have no issues. And people say, do I need to take a probiotic? And I say, look, you know, if you're doing fine, you don't necessarily have to take one. But when you travel, that's the one time that I recommend people take probiotics, for two reasons. One is to get around this constipation thing. But number two, there are actually certain probiotics that have been shown to prevent the opposite problem, which is traveler's diarrhea. It can actually help prevent you from actually getting infections from food when you travel.
Oh, wow.
I get traveler's diarrhea like every other week, to be honest.
You,
like,
do? Yeah. I get constipated when I travel.
It's the worst.
So you should both do an experiment. You should both try probiotics when you travel and see if actually you end up okay.
I take probiotics all the time. Yeah. I take it every day.
I don't take them on the road just because I had been thinking that it didn't work if they weren't refrigerated, but I need to go out and buy someone's. So you're saying Align is the best?
For IBS, has the most studies, but if for traveling purposes, actually in traveler's diarrhea, Culturelle actually ends up being the best one. So that neither of those have to be refrigerated. So if you pick up Culturelle and you start it, say, a couple days before you hit the road, and then you take it while you're traveling, it should I think make a big difference.
Yeah. If I don't take probiotics, I will get diarrhea.
Oh,
yeah. Or even at home, if I stop taking probiotics, I notice a difference now.
We're just a messy group that you are talking to.
Speaking of messy, is it healthier for your poop to be messy? Or is it better if it's like there's not much there when you wipe? What's the appropriate amount?
Yeah, clean sweep. We want the clean sweep every time. Yeah, that means everything's...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
What does it mean if it's clean sweep? Is that what you're asking?
What does it mean when it's messy?
It could be a lot of things. It means the consistency is probably not ideal, right? So if you have that perfect soft, not too hard, not runny consistency, then you're going to have very little residue. If you have a liquid, looser stool, that's usually where the cleanup is messy. Even if your stool is normal, actually, folks that have issues with hemorrhoids, for instance, sometimes have a difficult time cleaning up because the hemorrhoids, if they're inflamed and you know, they're enlarged, they can sometimes have residue on them that's difficult to clean. So there's a lot of issues with the messiness, but you always want to go clean if you can.
Wow. Oh, have you, like, perfected your poos? Like, I know that's a little personal. You haven't? It's a daily battle. It's a daily battle.
It's a lifelong battle to achieve that on a regular basis. And, you know, I do eat a lot of fiber. I tend to exercise. I mean, I tend to do all the things that you're supposed to, but that's just it's what makes Pooforia so special when it happens. I mean, if it happened every day, then, you know, who would care? But I think, I think you want to maximize your chances of that experience. But, I think, look, if you're eating well and you're doing the right thing, most people are going to be better off. But, you know, there are other people who have, you know, take medications for other, you know, medical problems, or who have other issues where, you know, their GI tract just moves a little too slowly. And, you know, you try to help them as best you can to, you know, maximize their diet and, you know, give them things and that can help them out. But, you know, these issues, like we opened with, like IBS and chronic constipation, I mean, literally tens of millions of people in this country struggle with this on a regular basis. And so it's so common. And I think people who, like you guys, obviously are all friends and you all talk about it, but there's so many people out there who have just kind of very daily debilitating GI symptoms, who don't get help, who don't talk to other people, because they sometimes feel like, you know what, it's just got to be me. Mm. And that's an important message to get out there, that it's definitely not.
My fiance used to get anal fissures, and then he mm-hmm. went to the doctor because there was blood in his stool, and the doctor told him to stop pushing. Basically, he was like pushing yeah. so hard. And yeah. so now he takes like hour long shits because he doesn't push. He just like waits till it basically falls out. And I'm like the opposite. I'm like, I power it out and I get in and I get on with my day. And he's like, don't.
That's the way it should be, by the way. I mean, you shouldn't push, but you shouldn't also spend an hour on the toilet, because that actually can cause other issues. It actually leads to hemorrhoids, believe it or not.
What is my God? I'm so glad you said that. I've been telling him to hurry it up in there for 7 fucking years, and now I have like actual medical
just
things.
Take his
like...
phone, just take his phone away.
I know.
We all have our phones, and it's just like, it's like this place where no one can bother us and we can just do what we want. If you got it, yeah, you got to take his phone away. He'll be out of there in like 10 minutes.
Yes. Oh my God, you're fixing my relationship.
What is the difference between anal fissures and hemorrhoids?
Oh, they're very different. So
I feel like I have no idea.
Yeah. So hemorrhoids are almost universal, especially in women after childbirth, pregnancy, as we get older. They're basically normal blood vessel type structures around the anus. They can be internal or external. So everybody has these veins, but then with certain things, like, again, pregnancy and delivery and age and constipation, they can become enlarged and they can become irritated. So that's kind of more universal. Anal fissure is actually a cut in the lining of the sphincter muscle. So like right at the very end, we all have the lining, and that gets cut usually when you're constipated and straining and passing hard stools. It's super painful. It's actually in our book, we talk about like shards of glass. Like it really Ooh. Feels like you're passing Awful. Glass. And so the good news about it is it's not like a lifelong thing. People usually have it for like a week. They get treated. It gets better. And then if they have another hard bowel movement down the road, it can come back. So it kind of comes and goes and needs to be treated. But as it, you know, was mentioned, basically, if you're able to keep your stool soft and not strain, it should not come back. It's not something that people struggle with sort of like on a daily basis for a long period of time.
Okay. Wow. So wait, the fissure was
the cut.
Painful.
Yeah, that's wow. Super painful.
Hemorrhoids can be painful.
They
right?
can be. They can be painful. Yeah, exactly. But that tends to be something that's, again, diet related, and you kind of put some creams on it, and kind of goes away. But the actual structures, the actual hemorrhoids themselves, never actually go away.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Unless you get them treated.
Oh. We've often heard that, you know, the gut is like your second brain. Because I guess it has, well, I don't know, so many neurotransmitters or whatever. Can you kind of talk about that concept and why our gut health is so important?
Yeah, so there's actually, we all know about serotonin in the brain. It turns out there's actually, you know, we talk about mood disorders and things. There's actually more serotonin in the GI tract than there is in the central nervous system. And same thing with neurons and things. So it speaks to the importance of psychology and mood and anxiety and a lot of these things that directly affect our gastrointestinal health. And so, you know, before we really understood what irritable bowel syndrome was, people just felt like, oh, it's in their head and it's just like an anxious, uptight person and this is what's happening. But now we know it's actually a crosstalk. It's like a communication. It's a two-way communication from the gut to the brain and vice versa. So it's not just that, okay, I'm feeling anxious and so my, you know, I have diarrhea, for instance. It's actually the other way around as well. There's actually abnormalities in the GI tract that actually affect the way our brain works. And it's kind of wild to think about things going in that direction. And so, you know, when we treat irritable bowel syndrome, we now know that we have to treat the neurotransmitters in the GI tract, and we also have to treat the neurotransmitters in the central nervous system. So if somebody has an anxiety issue and we don't control it, they're not going to get better. But similarly, if we don't treat the issue in the gut, like we talked about, leaky gut, probiotics, diet, if we don't take care of that, then patients just don't get better.
Wow. That's unreal.
Really crazy. What's your opinion on the squatty potty?
Most people don't need it. It does have a good sound physiologic basis, though. So it's not complete voodoo. It's basically been shown that for people that have issues with evacuating, and again, I hate to keep picking on women, but unfortunately, again, after childbirth, after, you know, a lot of pelvic floor surgeries, hysterectomies, a lot of these things, the pelvic floor muscles with aging actually get weaker. And so there are people who have constipation, but they don't have, it's not like their transit through the system is slow. It actually gets to the end. And then they have difficulty evacuating, so straining, and they have to do different things because of the anatomy and the weakness. So for those individuals, that the extra opening that squatting kind of gives you sometimes is really helpful to help with evacuation. So for those individuals, I think the squatty potty can be helpful. But for the average person who has no trouble going to the bathroom on the toilet, it doesn't really add much to the whole experience, frankly.
Oh, that's so interesting. I won't say the whole thing, but we did a bonus episode recently on our Patreon where I shared a very embarrassing story where my IBS flared up as it does, and my fiance was in the bathroom for too long, and my body just, it had to go, as is what happens with IBS, and I basically had to squat and poop into an empty box in my apartment.
Holy cow.
And
a Sephora box
forever ruined my favorite store for myself. But to be honest, like, as horrifying as that was, and I couldn't believe that was happening, it was like one of the best poops I've ever had, because it really did feel like the structure of my colon was like more up and down and not so bent as it is when you're sitting on the toilet. My face is so red right now. I'm so hot in the face. I can't believe I just said it. But
You're breaking down some good physiology. I'm really impressed actually right now. That's exactly happens. You straighten out it's actually, if you want to really get technical, it's called the anorectal angle. And actually you do it. It is actually, you straighten it out when you squat. And so that's why probably through, you know, evolution, etc., up until the last couple hundred years, that's how, you know, we went to the bathroom, and there's probably a good reason for it. So so again, it can be helpful if you have that outlet dysfunction, weakness, pelvic floor kind of issue, then that's something, it does actually make some sense.
Yeah. Good thing your new apartment has a balcony, Kel.
I know. Whip out the litter box. I think doing it, pooping in a box, kind of like ruined regular poops for me, because now I know how much better it feels. Like, it was like one of those like pooporia moments where I mean, I was humiliated, but also it was a no wiper. It felt exactly like how it should. And when I'm on the toilet, even if like my body's telling me, oh, you have to go right now, I always feel like I don't get everything out, or it just doesn't feel like as easy as it should. And interesting. So
do you use the squatty potty then?
I don't have one, but I guess I should go buy one.
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, it's not that expensive. It's not going to hurt. It's not like it's going to cause any harm. So if you've had this experience, maybe you're onto something.
Yeah. You're going to judge yourself every time you go to the bathroom.
I know. I know. You know, it's cheaper than a squatty potty, a cardboard box.
Oh, man.
It's going to keep shit in a box.
So great.
Yeah.
I have something. So I recently went on the Candida diet. I've been on it for about two and a half weeks.
The what diet?
The Candida.
It's all good.
Either one. It's really the can't eat a diet because you can't eat shit when you're at home anyway.
Pun City so up in bad. Here.
But anyway, miserable, very hard diet. But the results have been unbelievable. So I had all these little bumps on my face, all those like textured bumps that are not pimples, but that, you know, they're not poppable, but just kind of just like raised flesh, I guess. And all of that was completely gone within 8 days of being on this diet. Like my skin is completely clear. Can you talk about how the hell that happened after I basically just cut, you know, bread and cheese and most grains,
like fermented things,
a lot of fermented, all, you know, nothing with yeast obviously, but can you explain to our listeners like why that significant change could happen in such short amount of time?
I wish I could. I actually, the only way to explain it is what we talked about with the leaky gut, to be honest. I mean, there's something to be said for, there are people who have, and we can't always measure it, but have this sort of low grade total body inflammation that is related to diet. And I think not everybody needs to cut out gluten or FODMAPs, or this is what you're kind of talking about with the fermentable foods and things. But there certainly are people who feel a lot better, and it may not be the skin. It may be energy. It may be focus. It may be mood. It may be so many things that they talk about with, you know, these diets that cut out. And usually the common factor is, again, like not just fermentable foods, but mostly the grains and the carbohydrates and the gluten. And I don't know that medical science can explain that necessarily, except for the fact that these are foods that are sort of pro-inflammatory for some people, right? Not for everybody, but people get joint pains, and they swear by the fact that if they stop eating gluten, their joint pain gets better. And we can't necessarily measure that. We can't do an X-ray to prove it. But to me, it suggests that there's clearly a link between, you know, what we're eating and what the level of our body inflammation is.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well,
any other poo questions?
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
That was so informative. Oh my gosh.
You are one of my favorite guests of all time. Yeah. I'm so excited to read your book. Thank you for like straight up changing my life.
Well, that's I appreciate that. You guys have been awesome, and I think it's great what you guys are doing. I think people hopefully will listen to this, and like I said, just feel comfortable. Understand that there's literally millions of people who have gastro issues out there every day, and there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of things out there that are very easy, that are not prescription medication based, that will I think really improve people's quality of life.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And where can people find you, Dr. Sheth? And where can they buy your books and all that, plug all the things that you want to promote?
Yeah. So I think, you know, we came out with our first book about 10 years ago. We have an updated version with a lot more. We call it a double digest because it's extra thick, filled with, you know, more poo facts than you probably want. But it's a good read in the bathroom, as long as you don't spend too much time in one sitting. And so you can get it all the usual places. You know, it's in bookstores, on Amazon. You can go to drstool.com, which will take you to the Chronicle Books landing page and read some excerpts and, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah. And incredible. It's What's Your Poo Telling You?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man,
it's amazing. I forgot.
I can't wait to get the pee one. We didn't ask any pee questions.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my gosh. Can I ask you another question real fast?
Yeah, far away.
Okay. Well, I feel like I already know the answers, but when your pee is like cloudy, is it just not drinking enough water, or are there other things that you can be doing?
Cloudy. Well, it's either you're dehydrated or you may have a urinary tract infection. I mean, those are the things that cause it.
Yeah.
So probably better than I. Yeah, I mean, that's something that fortunately also women are getting
really sucks.
A tough, raw deal here today. But no, cloudy urine. Yeah. And it can also be seen like in, if you take certain prescription medications and supplements and things that, you know, we don't fully process that get excreted in the urine, it can also lend it to cloudy nature.
That's interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah, because I'm on the lookout for UTIs. Don't. you just, I trust me. But when it's cloudy for no reason and I'm drinking a lot of water and it's not a UTI, I'm just curious as to what that is. But the supplements thing, that is interesting.
That is, yeah. Is your pee supposed to smell or not really at all?
Again, yeah, probably not. Usually not, unless again, but it's, again, it's very dependent. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys have had the experience of asparagus pee, but
yes.
Oh, yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, so that's something. So it depends on what you eat. It's just like this, you know, just like your stool to a certain extent. I mean, it shouldn't smell nearly as bad, obviously, but it's just very dependent on what you're putting in. So again, like medications and diet and things will all impact, you know, the smell of urine as well.
Okay.
That is so funny. Whew. Oh, man.
Oh, this
thank
was
you
so awesome.
Yeah, you. It was fun. Yeah, thank you guys.
We forgot to ask you what your favorite or least favorite quote is. So if you have one, feel free to share.
Yeah, it seems out of place now because it's sort of like a kind of a thought-provoking deep quote. But I just heard it recently, so I'll share it. It's complete non sequitur. But I heard it was actually by the guy that founded Taoism. So it was he's sort of a pretty like philosophical guy, and I just read it actually recently. So when you mentioned this, I thought of it. So he said, "Those who are anxious live in the future. Those who are depressed live in the past, and those who are at peace live in the present."
We love that quote.
So good, so good. Words to live by.
Yeah, I need that one tattooed on my arm. I need to look at that every goddamn day.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Again, thank you so much, Dr. Sheth. This was eye-opening,
man,
and our listeners are going to go look at all your stuff. Buy the book, people. It will change your life. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, and have a good evening.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Oh my god,
that was
he
so
is
great.
A
that was awesome.
Butthole hero. Love him.
Butthole, yeah. He's known on the streets as the Poo Doctor, so definitely lives up to the name.
Wow.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was so great. I'm embarrassed that at the last minute I was like, yeah, we're going to let you go. Oh, but my pee!
But my pee! Well, it's like, how often do you get like free medical advice?
Never. Oh my god, I know.
Very
you
rare.
Made me laugh so hard with your face, Delaney, when you're like, should pee smell? He's like, no. And you're like,
oh, okay. Well, you know, like sometimes it just like smells weirder or worse than other times.
Yeah,
like,
when you're dehydrated.
Yeah. Like
you
spill
the pee
water.
Smell more if you're dehydrated.
I hate the smell of pee.
I don't like the smell of like asparagus pee.
Oh,
like I want like an asparagus pee candle,
dude. I'll be honest. I would rather smell shit than pee. Like I do
Are you
not.
Serious?
I do not like the smell of urine.
I don't like the smell of men's pee. Like it's all like frothy smelling.
Oh,
because they're usually dehydrated
and they're usually like,
shooting it out,
peeing on like urinal cakes and shit. What the fuck do you guys do in there? I swear it is like a guy. It's like fucking Narnia in a men's bathroom.
Thank you so much for listening, you guys. This was a really fun episode. This is one of my favorites,
dude.
Wow. Yeah,
so good.
Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and review. We're on the iTunes every week. iTunes charts,
amazing, it's and so Spotify charts.
Cool. Yes,
I don't even have Spotify, but I know we're on there.
It's exciting. Yeah, so tell your friends. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/selfhelpless. Bonus episodes, rewards. It's so fun.
We love it.
So
we're about
so
to record one after this.
Yes,
so excited.
You can follow me at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
T-Tom Comedy on Instagram, Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter, ttomcomedy.com for tour dates.
I'm DelaneyFisher.com and DicksByDelaney.com is live,
yes!
People. It is up and running. I worked out all the kinks. Shit is flowing in. Thank you to all the helpsters who have put orders in and purchased dick mugs and cock glasses and salt and pecker shakers. I love you so much. I recognize the names coming in to my emails when I, you know, I get an order. And I just love you guys so much. Thank you for making the soft launch such a success. I'm going to get more into the whole Dick Spy Delaney origin story and everything on like the next episode. I'm really going to explain how this shit was birthed. But yeah, at Dick Spy Delaney on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter. Yeah.
Yay. Thank you. We're so proud of you.
Love you.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.